Well, it's great to be with you, to share God's word with you. And we're going to continue the New Year Restart series, where we're focusing on strengthening spiritual disciplines. And I hope you've been enjoying the series so far, but more importantly, that you have signed up to take part, to participate in the New Year Restart. Our host at some point will place a link in the chat where you can click and you can register, or you can just go to our website to do so. It would be great for all of us to do this together. And I'm excited because we have close to 120 people so far registered and ready to start on the 14th of February to look at a spiritual discipline and to strengthen it. And I believe that as we apply ourselves, as we grow in those disciplines, as we grow in our faith, that it's going to impact each of us, because as a body of believers, that impact reflects on each other. And we more and more reflect that change, the more we reflect Christ-likeness. And so super exciting up ahead, to see this growth take part in our community. And, you know, important that we take that personal responsibility for our faith, which is what I shared with you a couple weekends ago when we launched the New Year Restart. And so we have all these weeks, we're looking at different spiritual discipline and showing you why those disciplines are important and why they were a part of Jesus' own formation. A couple weekends ago, Jimmy Day, our resident extrovert, the person who loves to talk a lot, took on the challenge to talk about the discipline of silence and solitude. And he showed us how important it is to, you know, cut out the noise, the distractions, and to be still. And that when we do so, we sharpen our listening skills, we listen, we pay attention to our inner world, we hear from God more clearly. Such an important discipline to develop. Last weekend, Pastor Rob did a fantastic job in talking about strengthening fasting, and that fasting's not about sort of, you know, going without to manipulate God to do what you want. It's about foregoing something in order to help someone else, to love others more. And so I love that. It's such a different perspective on fasting. And so I hope you were encouraged and considering fasting as maybe that discipline that you want to strengthen in the New Year Restart. This week, we're going to look at strengthening prayer. And, you know, prayer is one of those things that most Christians know they are to do. But what we may not consciously realize is that prayer is a discipline that we learn, we practice, and we develop. And we may wonder, well, what is prayer? Prayer in its simplest form is communication, a conversation with God. And what you will notice is that as you go through the Restart booklet particularly, most of the disciplines incorporate prayer. When we're being still and silent, it's to be able to pray, to listen to God. When we fast, we use that time to draw nearer to God. When we read the Word of God, we use the Word of God in prayer. And so prayer is essential. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about prayer. And I'm going to share with you some fun facts. There are 667 prayers recorded in the Bible, and 450 of those are traceable. There are traceable answers, which is quite incredible. The Bible records Jesus praying 25 separate times. Now, that doesn't mean he only prayed 25 times, but the Bible records 25 separate times on earth when he did pray. The Apostle Paul mentions prayer in the New Testament, particularly prayer and all its derivatives, 41 times. And then the Bible records about five different bodily postures that you can have with prayer, and they include sitting, standing, kneeling, having one's face to the ground, and lifting one's hands to prayer. So quite extraordinary that there's such an amount of focus about prayer in the Bible. So we can surmise that prayer is important. But why is it important? Why is it important to you? Maybe you want to ponder on that right now. Why is prayer? What do you see the benefit of prayer? You might want to write something in the chat right now of why you think prayer is important. As I mentioned, there is so much mentioning of it in Scripture from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, right through to the New Testament, the Greek Scriptures. We see in Jeremiah 29:12, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." How wonderful to know that we can come to God and know that He is listening to us, that no matter what is on our heart, He is hearing and He is listening. And then we have 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 17. It says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, I have to confess, that last scripture has stumped me at times because I've questioned, "Lord, how do I pray continually? When do I actually get to sleep?" And, you know, other translations use the word pray without ceasing. I don't feel any better with that interpretation. It almost feels like this impossible task, an impossible ask. But I do find it fascinating that of all the spiritual disciplines in this one scripture that Paul focuses on, he says to pray continually. Now, he could have said, read the word of God continually. He could have said, fast continually. Aren't you glad he didn't say that? No, in here, he's highlighting the importance of prayer in keeping one's faith alive. And I think that's central, because when we look at the context, and Paul here is talking to the Thessalonian church, a church that he founded when he went to Thessaloniki, a city that was a trade city, and there were a number of synagogues there. In other words, there were a number of Jewish people that were living there. And as was custom, Paul would go and preach the gospel in the synagogues first. And as he did so, he preached the gospel about the good news of Jesus being the Son of God, coming, dying for us, and then being resurrected on the third day, and that we can have this living relationship with God. As he preached that gospel message, many Jews converted to Christianity. Many Jews decided to follow Jesus. But of course, many didn't, and didn't like what was going on there. And so these new Jewish Christians were being persecuted for this very reason, persecuted for their faith. And eventually Paul leaves the city and he hears news how they're doing it tough. And he writes this letter to the Thessalonian church. And in his final instruction, knowing that they're going through this persecution, he wraps it up with this instruction of be joyful always. And, you know, I can imagine them thinking, Paul, how do we do that in our circumstance? And he says, by praying continually. How do we do that, Paul? By giving thanks in all circumstances. And I love it when we break it down like that, that we realize as we give thanks in our situation, we're keeping a prayerful attitude, we're holding things in prayer, and as we're doing that, we're finding joy in our situation because we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so it's a great instruction for all of us that if we want to keep our faith alive, prayer is essential. In fact, I've got to say that prayer is like oxygen to our spiritual life. And that if we cease to pray, our spiritual life becomes disconnected and lifeless. If we cease to pray, we cease to receive what we need to keep our faith alive. And so for this reason, prayer is essential to a Christian walk. And, you know, it's so satisfying, but I also think that's why it's so challenging as well and why there can be so much opposition to actually pray. You know, all of us can have those incredible connected moments with God when our prayer time feels so refreshing, so connected. You know, it almost feels like a cold drink on a hot day. And we've had a lot of those currently now at the moment when you know what that feels like. All those moments, and I call them the goosalumpers, where you pray and all of a sudden there's this answer that God gives you in your spirit, maybe a scripture or something, and it speaks right to your situation. That connectedness and that sense of God's presence and peace. There's nothing like that. But equally, we can have times in our life, and I have too in my own times, experience dry times when we feel parched and we feel it's hard to pray and you don't feel like praying and the heavens feel almost really silent. It feels like our connection line to God's on do not disturb and we're wondering where is God and we can get disillusioned perhaps and discouraged in our prayer life. And, you know, there can be so many different reasons why we choose not to pray. And, you know, as I said, our prayer life can be satisfying, but there can be also a lot of opposition as to why we shouldn't pray and don't pray. And, you know, some of those reasons can be we're too busy. and too time poor to consider stopping praying. And sometimes we think we have to pray for hours rather than just keeping an open heart towards God, an open, continuous conversation with God. Other times we think we're uncertain about whether prayer makes a difference. Maybe we've prayed and not seen an answer to a prayer. Perhaps we don't know what to pray or how and what to say to God. For others, it could be feeling undeserving, like they shouldn't approach God with what they're wanting to share with God, not wanting to bother him with what's on their mind and heart. For others, it could be feeling disappointed. Perhaps you have prayed and you have had an answer and it's not what you expected. Or perhaps you're waiting and maybe feeling a little discouraged, not knowing whether to approach God or ask God for anything more. Or it could just simply be feeling a bit bored, going through the motions. You know, all these reasons at some point in our lives, in our Christian walk, we may experience, and we need to know what to do in those times. And just as there are reasons why we don't pray, if we remember that prayer is simply a conversation that we are having with the one we love and the one we're in relationship with, and that is God. And if you think about how you relate to people that you love, there are various ways of relating and communicating. There are times of asking and times of giving. There are times of sharing what's on one's heart, and there are times where you're just silent. You're just comfortable in each other's presence and you don't need to say anything. You're just hanging out. And there are times where you adore and you praise and you encourage, and there are times where you fight for what is right. If you notice the one key word in all of that, it's time. And if our communication with the person we love, you know, if it was just about asking all the time, just asking for what you wanted and nothing else, well, I'm sure that person will eventually feel taken for granted for, almost used. If the only time I talk to them is when I want something, there's nothing worse. It's like, hey, do you care about just me, just who I am? And it's the same with God. To build a relationship, we need communication. And we need to relate in various ways. It's like this in our human relationships, and it's like this even with God. So when we understand that prayer is essentially relationship, and God fundamentally wants that relationship with us, he wants to talk with us. He wants us to share our day with him. He wants to show us things. He wants to reason out situations, cry and laugh over your day, do stuff together. And yes, he does want to supply what we need. When we think about all those various ways of relating, then prayer is wildly exciting, especially when we're open and we're seeing what God is doing in our midst and how he continuously blesses us. But if I only see God as a vendor machine, something that I put in to get something out of it, then I'm treating that relationship as such. And then I shouldn't expect my prayer life to be, rewarding. I think it would be largely quite disappointing and unfulfilling. Because, you know, getting what we want from God is not as valuable and fulfilling as God himself. It's his company and his presence that is the gift. So we must pray in a way that values our relationship with God. But you might be asking, well, how do I pray? Maybe you're just praying a certain style of prayer. We remember that there are various ways to communicate in a relationship, and you can expect there are various ways to pray. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests." You know, when I reflect on my own prayer journey, I see various ways that I have engaged in prayer, from prayer journaling, writing my prayers out and expressing everything that's on my heart, to early morning corporate prayer meetings where it's quite loud and vocal, to contemplative and imaginative prayer spaces and retreats where it's silent and reflective, to prayer partnering with others and prayer walks. I've crafted my own prayers, and I've drawn strength from the prayers of other saints as well. All these ways of engaging in prayer brings variety and brings ways of relating to God. And these ways are not limited, can I say? There are numerous ways that we can relate to God. The Bible, however, does show some ways that we can pray. And I want to go through some of these with you just quickly now in the time that we have. There are seven key ways that I can see in the Bible. And again, as I said, they're not limited to just these. There's what's called prayers of agreement. And that's another word for corporate prayer, where two or more people come together and they pray for something and they agree in prayer. And you see that in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Then there are prayers of requests, also known as petitions and supplications. And we see that in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so God expects us to bring requests and petitions to Him. There's also prayers of thanksgiving. And it's so important, I believe, to remember that thanksgiving is a prayer. And it's what helps to keep our hearts soft and alive and open to God. Psalm 95:2 says, "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and songs." And so we've even done that just a little earlier on. We sang worship to Him, and that's part of our prayer life, whether we see that as part of it or not. Then there's prayers of faith, and this is when we pray for miracles or perhaps healing. We see in James 5 verses 14 to 15, it says, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." Then we have prayers of consecration, which we're about to do today as part of Surrender Weekend. And this is where we surrender ourselves to the will of God. Matthew 26:39 is talking of Jesus, where it says, "Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" And the last two, we have prayers of intercession, which means to intervene for a cause, where we, you know, perhaps are standing in the gap for someone or something to take place. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." And finally, praying in the Spirit, which is to pray using a heavenly language. Now, often we may not know what to pray, and this is where our heavenly language is such a gift. When we pray in our heavenly language, the Spirit intercedes for us. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 to 15 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what should I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind." And so these are just some of the ways that we can pray. And of course, as I mentioned, there are lots of different other ways that we can pray, obviously contemplatively, silently, in nature, all different places that we can pray. And sometimes we might not know where to start. And so in the Bible, we see that Jesus instructed, gave us the Lord's Prayer as a way, as a guide for us to pray. And he says that the first thing we need to do is to address God, our Father, our Lord in heaven. You know, if we're wondering who to pray to, we pray to God in Jesus' name. And then we can begin with thanksgiving. You know, the Bible clearly says that we're to enter His courts with thanksgiving. What are you thankful for today? When we open our mind to the countless blessings, even the breath in our lungs that we have, and we're thankful to that, you know, that opens up our dialogue with God. You know, there's nothing like having a dialogue with someone when we start with complaints. No, no, no. If we come ready to be thankful for the things that have been given, there's always something that we can be grateful for. And in our prayers, we're to ask for God's will. And that is coming with a surrendered and obedient heart to do God's will. And sometimes that's a conversation to get there. Sometimes we want what we want. But when we're in conversation with God, if we come to that surrendered place of asking for His will and asking Him to change our heart in the process, we ask the Lord for what we need. What grace do I need today? Perhaps it's the grace of kindness. Perhaps it's the grace of being compassionate. you know, to be able to love more? What grace is it do I need today to do what I need to do? I always think it's important in prayer that we ask for forgiveness. The Bible clearly says in James 5:16 that if we hold anything against anyone, that the Lord does not hear our prayers. Now, sometimes forgiveness is a journey, and, you know, it's even talking to God about that. It's ensuring that our hearts are clean, that we hold no grudges, that we hold no unforgiveness, and that our hearts are right before God and others. Another great thing to do in prayer is to even just join and partner with somebody. I know a lot of my prayer life, I learnt how to pray because I partnered up with my sister Rena. When I was a new Christian, she took me under her wing and we would be walking every morning and we would be praying, and she taught me how to pray. I listened to her prayers, and she very much taught me it's a conversation. And so there's much strength, much learning when we partner up with someone. And, you know, part of the New Year restart, the encouragement is to partner up, that we're not just to do this on our own. And part of that is that we learn from each other. We grow from listening to how others pray, and not just thinking that we've arrived, but being open and mindful to others. So finding a prayer partner is great for that, and it's also great for personal strength as well. And finally, we pray the word. What does the word of God say about a situation, a thought that you may have? And we pray in line with God's word. And so it's important also that we know his word, that we spend time reading his word. In reflecting on your own prayer life, I'd encourage you to maybe review your prayer life and the ways you are praying. Are you sticking to maybe just one style? Are you getting a bit, I don't know, a little bit bored? Or is it feeling a bit, is it feeling vibrant, connected? If it's not, then perhaps it's looking at different way of praying. And there's so many different ways of praying, the different apps and opportunities. And maybe these are some of the things you can consider as part of the restart. If you're feeling like your prayer life could be strengthened in this season, maybe this is the spiritual discipline that God is speaking to you about in strengthening and invigorating. But like all relationships, we learn how to communicate and how to relate as we apply time, as we give it time. And of course, as I mentioned, that doesn't mean it needs to be blocks of hours. It's just, you know, those moments of just inviting God into every situation. Even as I'm preaching to you now, just, you know, thanking him for his presence right here, touching your hearts, speaking to you right now. It's an ongoing conversation. I'm going to now invite Emma Day to share her own personal testimony of her own prayer journey. And she's also going to share different ways that you can engage in prayer here at Bayside Church. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks so much, Pastor Sandra. And to follow on from what's been shared already today, I want to share with you a bit about how prayer has meant many things to me and has taken on many forms over the years. And each of them has deepened and strengthened my relationship with God. And I think that that's the beauty of prayer, right? It simply is dialogue with God. When I was a little girl, perhaps around 8 years old, I went to stay with my granny, my mum's mum, and she taught me the Lord's Prayer. Now, we weren't a church-going family. We didn't spend any time in church that I can remember. But the great thing about it was that she felt that it was important to teach me about the Lord's Prayer. And so from that point on, I learned that prayer was actually, or could be, part of my life. It wasn't until I was about 12 years old that I actually made a decision to follow Jesus for myself. Now, as a teenager in the 90s, prayer for me took on a different form. It was then that I really learnt that instead of praying prayers of the Bible or prayers like the sinner's prayer that were crafted, I could actually pray for things for myself. I could pray with my own words. When I was alone and, you know, in the quiet, I could pray. I learned that I could pray with worship and with music, which is something that I still love and adore today. I learned that I could pray writing in my journal. Now, as you can imagine, 14 and 15-year-old Emma was writing some pretty intense things, and I had a lot of emotions, particularly ranging around probably the boy crazy phase, but those prayers for me were important, and those prayers were really important to God. One of the other things that I learnt as a teenager is that I could pray corporately with my church family. And that was really important. And we saw many things happen in those prayer meetings. Some of them were really loud and vibrant and, you know, out there and a little bit yelly. And some of them were actually moments of deep intercession and contemplation within the church. And so many great things came from that. I learnt that I could pray for people in my neighbourhood. And we had this incredible ministry at the time, which was called our Prayer House Ministry. And that was kind of coinciding with our connect groups at the time. But what we would do is we would walk around the neighbourhood and pray for the neighbours where we were. And it was so powerful to actually feel connected to the community. As I moved into my 20s, I found that prayer took on a couple of different formats for me. One of them was that I saw God, through my prayers, perform miracles. I prayed for miraculous provision and God provided. And that is an incredible moment of realization that God actually cares about what I'm wanting to do and what I'm praying for, and doing His will was so important to me that He provided. I also learnt in my 20s that I could pray through my pain and through desperation and disappointment. And I think those kind of prayers are the prayers that happen in the wilderness, where we don't have words. The only words that we have, perhaps, are "help me." And I learnt that those prayers are also so important to God. And it taught me, when I felt like I was drowning in the things that I'd created around me, taught me that God was actually compassionate and I wasn't too far removed from His grace and His mercy. When I only had a whisper left, when I needed someone else to craft a prayer for me, I found those prayers. And as an adult, my life is richer because of all of those moments in prayer. And I've seen God change me from the inside out and change circumstances around me through engaging with prayer. As Pastor Sandra spoke of, prayer is talking and asking. It's praise and thanksgiving and worship. It can be listening and hearing God. And sometimes it's just a thread of connection or a breath. It really is just dialogue with God. Here at Bayside Church, we've got so many ways that you can connect with the discipline of prayer. One of the great ways that you can connect with prayer in person here at Bayside is on Sunday mornings. We have a pre-service prayer at 9:30, and everyone's welcome to join us. We also have connect groups. There are dedicated prayer connect groups that can range from online, like our contemplative prayer group, which meets online. There's also prayer for the persecuted church, and men have a pre-breakfast prayer meeting once a month on a Saturday, which is a great opportunity for the men to gather together. There's also a prayer chain that we have a number of people at the church connected in with. When we get prayer requests that are immediate, I can send those out and prayer is immediately happening for those needs, which is so exciting. We have the Immerse prayer and worship evenings. Now, they happen on the third Thursday of every month, and it's a really worshipful space, I suppose. It's quiet, it's unhurried, and the purpose is really to soak in the presence of God, to meet with Him in an intimate way, and pray in whatever posture you choose. We might pray for some things corporately in that space, but it's also an opportunity for you to connect in with God in a prayerful way. You can pray with a group that you choose. That could be a large group, a small group, or even in a pair or a couple that you're doing this New Year restart with. Or you can develop your personal prayer life. And we have some great tools. There are Bible apps that you can use and connect in with. There are a plethora of things available to us for free online and via apps and things like that. They're great ways to develop our personal prayer. So we're going to put this simple dialogue with God into practice right now. This weekend is a really significant weekend, especially in the area of prayer for our church. Now, every year as a church, we surrender ourselves afresh, corporately, in prayer to God for the coming year. We invite you to surrender afresh this year and our senior leadership team is going to stand with you and pray for you during this time.